The Chicago Bulls season came to a crashing halt yesterday in their playing game against the Miami Heat, a game in which the Chicago Bulls are never at threat of winning at all, bringing into question what's next for the Chicago Bulls as they head into the offseason. We'll talk about it all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And the Chicago Bulls season came to an end. And this the way that this season ended, I've seen some crazy reactions from Bulls fans coming off this game. And we're going to talk and discuss a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to talk about which Bulls should not be returning for the Chicago Bulls next season. We're going to talk about all that. But let's get into this first, right? So three straight play-in appearances for the Chicago Bulls and three straight times the Miami Heat have been the ones that have sent the Bulls out the play-in tournament. And that's where it comes down to, this team is just, it isn't, whether it's coaching, whether it's player performance, whatever it is, they're just not ready to get over into that next level. Now, the thing with this is, and that I've said a lot, too, when it comes down to it, is the bigger problem with making the play-in repeatedly isn't necessarily the players. It's how much AK, up until this point, has allowed the play-in to make him think that, he's closer than what he is in reality, right? Like, especially under the DeMar, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic core, AK kept repeating the fact of competitiveness, right? And that type of thing. That was the buzzword then. And, you know, that team truly wasn't there, right? And the play-in isn't a problem. The problem is that when you allow the play-in to make you think that you're at a place where you don't still need to make some either considerable changes to your roster, your coaching staff, or whatever else it ends up being, right? And that's the dangerous place that the Bulls have been in over the stretch, is allowing the play-in to make them think that they are closer, right? And the Bulls in this game were just completely outcoached and outperformed by Eric Spoelstra and by the players on the Miami Heat team. Now, the one thing that this team did that was very interesting, right, is that they actually pit Bam on Josh Giddey early in this game, and then they attacked Josh Giddey on the defensive side of the ball. Now, attacking Josh Giddey on the defensive side of the ball is not a problem here, right? One thing that what they did offensively, though, that was really good is that putting Bam on Giddey to start off the game. And even though Josh Giddey had 13 points when, the Chicago Bulls, he was basically the only Chicago Bulls offense. But, you know, it was just that point of, if we can slow down Josh Giddey, make him be inefficient, how that factors into everything else. Kobe White did not have a good game last night by any stretch of the imagination. The stats end up looking okay if you just look at the points scored and that type of thing, but like he shot a terrible efficiency from the floor. He took very bad shots early in the shot clock that were just bad and just were not in the flow of the game. And overall, like, he definitely played a huge part into this Bulls team not being able to win that game. And so those type of things, just the mentality that the Heat went into with that game of being able to take just the execution level, we just didn't have that, right? And, of course, a lot of Bulls fans have now used this as expected to say, oh, well, we should have been tanking this whole time, right? The Bulls still have a lottery pick. We'll see what happens in the lottery here for the Chicago Bulls. But overall, like, the Bulls came up against a team. Basically, it's like when your big brother punches you in the face when you think you finally think you take on your big brother and knocks you the fuck out. That's what that was, right? And it was embarrassing in some cases, but also just it should be a reminder of just how far, like, the second half of the Chicago Bulls season was fun. Make no mistake about it. It was fun. It was a fun team to watch, the way they played basketball and everything like that. But it just is a reminder of, you're not close, right? You still got a lot that you truly need to get to if you really want to be a team that can really compete and get into the playoffs, right? And so you had somebody like after the game, like somebody like Eco Bean, right, who said, oh, the Bulls are going to be a top four seed next year. No, the hell they're not. Not just because of the talent, but because, again, you need players that can step up when it matters the most, and that's just not going to happen, right? So now that leads you to the place of what's next for this team, right? And I want to go to the comments of Billy Donovan after the game, because I think as usual, Billy Donovan was very open and honest and aware of the place of the team, even though sometimes he's not as open and aware of what he needs to do as a coach, but we'll get into that. But let's get into Billy Donovan's comments after the game, right, where he says this. You look at any great team, they have a guy that's really, really elite. A lot of times, it's in the backcourt. I think Kobe made a really good jump this season, and wherever he gets to, I don't know. Josh made a nice jump. I'm sure those will all be things the front office will take a look at as they go into the draft and free agency. Okay, listen, I see what you're talking about there, right? Like, that is to say that most teams have a guy that's really, really, like, you need a guy, right? And the fact of the matter is that Billy Donovan is, I mean, well, the Bulls don't have that guy yet. Now, I remember when I said this on an episode not too long ago, and people were like, oh, no, Josh Giddey's your number one. Oh, no, Kobe White's your number one. This is why to truly be a number one in this league at the level that's truly needed if you want to be a team that can go far, no, they haven't shown themselves the ability to be that yet. Now, maybe Josh Giddey turns into that, but it's more just than just about putting up stats, right? And that's the thing that I think if somebody tells you that we need somebody to be the number one and they respond to you with, well, Josh Giddey averages 20, 10, and 8. How is he not the guy? And it's like, it's more than just numbers. We've seen a lot of players put up numbers. Now, those numbers, putting up a triple-double, if he averages that, that's a different category, right? That still doesn't necessarily mean that you are the guy. It's not just about stats. It's about where and how also you step up when it matters the most. The Bulls don't have that guy that can put the team on their back, whether it's for a quarter or for a half, that's going to say, hey, we're not losing this game because I'm about to go off. In the most important games, we don't have that yet. That's not a knock. That's an evaluation, right? We'll see if anybody can get there. Maybe Modest can develop into that guy. Maybe it is Josh Giddey that can develop into the guy. He took a huge leap this year. Kobe White being 25 years old, 26 years old, we'll see how much more he can add to his game, right? But this is usually the place where you start refining your game. You don't really start adding a lot to your game. Now, that does not take away from, we're not going to do the thing that some Bulls fans are doing and being overly reactive and act like, oh, we got to absolutely send off XYZ player. No, that doesn't need to happen right now yet either, and it's not going to happen. This is not going to be a team that tanks. That's not going to change. They didn't tank for Cooper Flagg. They're not going to tank next season. It's not going to happen, right? Now, that does not mean that players can't be moved, and we'll talk a little bit about that heading into the next segment, but overall, this season, and this is why I asked that question even before this, right? What does losing in the playing game change, right? As far as the season and your view on it. And here's the, you got to be, if you were being honest in the evaluation, it shouldn't have changed anything. For the people that thought and looked at this, like for example, Eco Bean leaving that comment to say, oh, well, the Bulls are going to be top four in the East next year. If you truly thought that, yeah, you need to evaluate, right? If you were somebody that was looking at it and saying, well, the Bulls have found their guys. We only just need role players going forward, and we're going to be able to be a championship contender if we just start off next. No, you were wrong, right? And that's why I've said it and always framed it in the sense of, yeah, they're going to start off and see. We need to see how much of this maintains for a full season, right? The finish of the season was great. What they did was great. I think the balance that Josh Giddey and Kobe White found and how they can play together, that's legitimate. That is absolutely legitimate. And I think that's good that they've shown that they can play together. But the heights that you can reach with playing that, how consistent you can be in playing with that, that's still where it's not as certain yet. And that's the thing that the Chicago Bulls team really needs to get to if they're going to want to ever be the team that is just more than a play-in team, right? And so it is what it is, man. Unfortunately, like it ends how it always ends, right? And the Bulls have to ask themselves and be in a place of being honest about the evaluation of what they have going forward, right? And, you know, Billy Donovan also saying, I think we got out of control of how we're playing for a long stretch. No shit, you got out of control of how you were playing for a long stretch. You were never in control in this game, right? Kobe White after the game saying this, we didn't have game plan discipline and they were the better team tonight. You're right, you didn't have game plan discipline because it didn't look at the beginning of this like you even had a game plan. And I'm not saying that you didn't. I'm 100% sure that they had a game plan. But again, how you adjust to that, how you execute that can be very wildly different things. And that's the place that the Bulls are in. And they have to ask themselves, how do you get out of this? And ask yourself a tough question in that. Now, some lottery luck, what does that do for the Chicago Bulls? We'll end up seeing. We'll end up seeing what that ends up doing for the Bulls. But that brings us to the next topic that we're going to talk about today, and that is how many of these Chicago Bulls players are still going to be on the roster next season, right? How many of these players are the Chicago Bulls going to be legitimately looking to move as they continue to build? Because, again, anybody who thought that this team was that close, right? Again, Eco Beans top four, right? People calling in saying the Bulls can win 40 games next season. They got a lot to show before we can see that absolutely. But who's on the chopping board, right, for this? Nikola Vucevic, for sure. As a matter of fact, I'll start off by saying this. I get it that Zach Collins had I'm not saying that everybody needs to leave, but if you do draft a center with this, because we know Billy Donovan is not going to go three centers deep, I'm fine with Zach Collins being your starting center next year. But I think two of Zach Collins, Nikola Vucevic, and Jalen Smith, two of those players are probably going to find themselves on the at least the trading block next year. Now, if the Bulls can execute a trade, that's a different thing when it comes down to it, right? But at the end of the day, the Bulls need a different kind of archetype at the center position than what they have here. Now, Zach Collins, as a player that's a veteran, that can give effort on both sides of the ball, he's a guy that, like I said, if he ends up being, if you draft a center, because Billy Donovan is not going to start a young center right away, if you draft that center, great, right? Zach Collins can come in, he can be your starter. He's shown that. He's done that in spots before. He can be your spot starter, right? And that's cool. Nikola Vucevic does not fit in with where this team currently is. He does not fit in with where this team goes. There are some people that because of Vucevic's recent play, and this is why I don't get too far up or too far down just off a small stretch, right? Because you have people saying that Vuce should have absolutely been moved at the trade deadline, to people saying, we can't move Vuce. What do you mean? Why would we want to trade Vuce? Because of a couple of hot games. Vuce does not fit in with the play style of this team. It's just evident. He doesn't. Now, he has times where absolutely Vuce, because of his ability to score, him being a veteran in this league, the fact that we don't have any really good isolation scores, and Vuce can score down in the post and get into that, and it's a facsimile of being an isolation scorer. You can get that, right? But at the end of the day, when you have the backcourt of Josh Giddey and Kobe White, you need switchable rim protectors. And the fact is Vuce can only play in drop coverage. Now, the zone defense, he can play a little bit more because of the zone coverage. You can keep some drop defense type mentality. He's in it, and that's why he can play in that. But you clearly need a different type of player there. And Nikola Vucevic is absolutely somebody that the Bulls should be looking to play in, because stylistically, he just doesn't fit in. Jalen, I say this, right? I like Jalen. And there were stretches in the season where Jalen Smith was great. His per-minute production was amazing. He's been inconsistent. And this isn't necessarily about a Jalen thing. If Billy Donovan is not going to play Jalen Smith next year, you might as well move him. Take advantage with the fact that he's on a very decent contract and see what other teams can. Again, if Billy Donovan is not going to play him next year. Now, if Billy's going to play Jalen more, we've seen it. When Jalen plays, he can find ways to be productive. Now, there are also going to be some nights where he can't hit nothing from three. That affects it, but he still brings some rim protection. He's still bad defensively. But I think overall, when you're looking at Nikola Vucevic, Zach Collins, and Jalen Smith, the one of those guys that gives effort consistently on both sides of the ball is Zach Collins. So I'm cool with that. And I think if you draft a center. If you don't, keep two out of those three guys. But if you draft a center, two out of those three guys, they need to go. And that's just my personal opinion. The next player that I do think needs to go but won't is Patrick Williams. I'm sorry. There are people coming into this game in the Discord and things saying that Patrick Williams, he's due for a big – how many times a year do we say Patrick Williams, he's due for a big game? Is this going to be the game where Patrick Williams – if Patrick Williams can give – Patrick Williams was absolutely shit last night. 14 minutes, 0-2 from the field, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. It basically was a Tony Snell stat line. And if you watch this game, you understood that when the Bulls needed something defensively, that's when you like, Pete, Will, can you do something? Can you slow down? Bam. Can you get Tyler on a pick and roll? What can you do? He did nothing. P. Will, in one of the most important games in your season, I know he was second leading scorer off the bench, but second leading minute player off the bench. But part of the reason why we had to play THC down the stretch is because P. Will once again gave you nothing. Jack shit. Nothing. And they're at this point, even if P. Will is on your roster, because moving that contract is going to be very difficult with the $72-ish million that are going to be left on it after this year. But the P Will shit needs to stop. It just needs to stop. Julian Phillips played 1 minute in this game. I would rather see him try to figure it out than P Will. Now, Dalen Terry did play 13 minutes, but then again, that is another triumphant, right? Three players that we need to figure out which one of these guys we're gonna keep investing minutes in, because stretching out minutes between P. Will, Dalen Terry, and Julian Phillips is not working for any of their development. Pick two of those guys, give them minutes, and then let's see what they're going to turn into. If they don't, over 30, 40 games, sit their ass down, let's move on. Because this thing of trying to balance out between those three guys, I don't think it's putting them in the proper position. I don't think it's giving some of them the most minutes that they need to really kind of work themselves out of what they've done in their career. And P. Will could very well go on and have a solid career, but it does not need to be here anymore. The P. Will experiment needs to stop. Now, the functionality of them moving him is going to be hard. But I'm over the P. Will thing. I hope that P. Will has a great career. I hope that he can figure it out. But at this point in time, P. Will is nilsh, nothing. He gives you nothing when it matters the most. His stats over the end of the season were inflated because we had to go to him because we were missing starters. P. Will is bad. He's bad. It's time for P. Will to go. It's time for P. Will to go. The P. Will thing, it needs to stop. It's done. And I don't trust this front office to do it, but it needs to stop. It needs to go. It's done, right? Next up, a lot of people are saying that the Bulls need now to trade Coby White. And I get that, right? Here's the thing. I think you need to give Coby White to the trade deadline. Give him a time to start off the season with the same role he left the season off on for the first time in his career. And with him being an expiring contract, if it doesn't work out, move him. Now, one could say that if the value's there, if Memphis, Orlando, some of those teams come calling and they got value now for you for Coby White, you may have to entertain that deal depending on what they're putting on the board and things like that. Now, I want to see Coby get another opportunity to start off this season to see if he can be more consistent, to see how he can grow with having his role stay the same. But the functionality of it, you got to get ready to pay Coby White money. Coby White's about to get paid some money, right? And you have to make that decision before you end up locking him into money and it ends up being a bad contract. So if he starts off the season and he's good, great, extend him, right? It is what it is. Prepare to give him that offer at the end of the season. He's going to go into unrestricted free agency anyway. Cool, give him that money. If for some reason he flusters at the start of the season, cool, great, start shopping him, right? That's what I want to see. Unless you get an amazing offer for Coby White this offseason, I think that Coby's still going to be in a Bulls uniform to start off next year. But I tell you what, with Io coming back healthy, with the things that are going on around this team, with the draft picks that could be there available for the Bulls, you may have to take the advantage of maybe moving on from Coby White, depending on what he gives you at the start of this season. And that just could be, again, I'm not necessarily calling for Coby White to be traded, but I am realizing that it's a possibility that Coby White could be moved, and we'll see what happens there. Of course, you got back into the bench guys, THT, Javon Carter, all these guys, but those, like, THT is an unrestricted free agent. You don't have to bring him back. Javon Carter, I would love to see moved on because, again, you can use that roster spot, but then again, who's going to take that contract on? Maybe you can include him with somebody else, but everybody basically has negative value. P. Will, unless you do move Coby, and then you and saying, hey, Coby only has 1 year left. You're gonna have to pay him. You're gonna have to take Javon Carter's contract too. Maybe then, if you decide to move Coby White, but again, big questions there. But the biggest thing on why on the part of the Chicago Bulls that needs to be moved on from, and I don't trust the front office to do it, is Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan, and I get it. Billy Donovan can be a perfectly solid regular season coach. Perfectly solid regular season coach. But if your goal is to getting into the playoffs, if your goal is to be building playoff mentality, I think that it's time for you to realize Billy Donovan is not going to be the guy to get you over that hump. Now, Billy Donovan has 1 year left on his contract. I do not trust the Bulls to fire Billy Donovan with 1 year left on his contract. I think they're going to let him see that extra year through. That's just my personal opinion. But with guys like Taylor Jenkins out on the market, to me, you have to really evaluate that. Guys like Chris Quinn that are in the wings of a Miami team that's been performing well for years, you have to look at that guy, right? There's a lot of the guys that you have to look at and consider moving on from. And Billy Donovan is one of those guys. You have if the Bulls don't put some serious, at least thought, consideration into moving on from Billy Donovan this season, to me, you're not serious about winning right away, right? Again, put some serious. Now, maybe you call Taylor Jenkins and he doesn't want to come, right? Maybe there's that type of thing. All right, cool. I can't blame you for that. Maybe you call Chris Quinn and want to give him an opportunity for coming from that team that's kicked your teeth in the last few years, and he doesn't want to take that opportunity. Okay, great, right? But you got to look at something. And I think that it's clear now that Billy Donovan is not going to be that coach that gets you over that hump. He's just not going to do it. So we'll see what the future does hold for the Chicago Bulls, man, and we'll see what ends up happening. But we do got one voicemail I want to get into, man. This one is from Shea, who apparently can't stop calling now that his parents have removed his block from calling into the Bulls Central line. That's from Shea. We're going to go ahead and play that now.
What's up, FaZe? It's Shea. Look, man, I know a lot of people are going to agree with me on this one, but, I mean, Billy Donovan has shown that he probably should never be a coach. Should not be the coach of the Chicago Bulls. Now, look, I know Eric Spoelstra is going to... I know some coaches just have your number, but Jesus Christ, man, it's like, I guess a lot of good teams, such as Cleveland, such as Miami, when it really counts, you can see that Billy Donovan doesn't necessarily knows what he's doing. Yeah, we saw it before he even came here at OKC. Now, look, I'm not asking for a coach to be perfect, but Jesus Christ, man. You've lost to Miami 3 straight times in the play-in situations because Eric Spoelstra has outsmarted you. Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. But you do it all 3 times? Oh, yeah. You know how the rest goes. Look, it's time for Billy. It's time for us to move on from Billy. Because, I mean, let's face it, you even said Billy Donovan is not the coach that you went all with. But I think Billy Donovan is not even the coach that you even want to make the playoffs with. Due to the fact of what he's done in Chicago and due to the fact of what he's done in all winning situations. Hell, he was up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors and ended up losing. And not only that, you look at his last tenure in OKC, they could have beat the Houston Rockets, and they had more size than the Houston Rockets, but yet Billy Donovan elected not to want to use Steven Adams. So that should tell you a whole lot. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
This is why I said the Bulls winning 3 times over Miami in the regular season means absolutely nothing. Right? It means absolutely nothing. Right, you have to put yourself in a position to where you're able to move on and realize some things. And so the Bulls and what and how their season ended with, like, it's just, it goes to show how important coaching is. Right, me and Pat the Designer disagree on Billy Donovan's coaching. It is what it is. He doesn't think that Billy Donovan coached a bad game last night. He thinks it was just on the player's execution. I disagree with that. Billy Donovan, you don't have a blowout and coaching not at least be part of that. To me, it just doesn't happen there. Right, and so I think when it comes down to this, man, Billy Donovan is, he's not the biggest problem with the Bulls. That's still AK and Eversley, right? That's still them as the guys that run this team. But Billy Donovan is, he's not the guy that's going to get you over the hump. You can build an amazing team, and Billy Donovan can get you to the playoffs. He maybe even could win a playoff series, but Billy Donovan's probably never going to be that coach that gets the most out of a roster, right? He's going to need great talent to get you far. And he can get more out of it, but the most, right? To when you look at coaches that drain every bit of every shred of talent that's there on a team, Billy Donovan isn't that guy. And as long as you have a guy like that who can raise your floor but doesn't raise your ceiling, that's where you get into problematic things. So I agree with you. I think the Bulls have to take a hard look at what Billy Donovan brings and offers. But again, when you have coaches like Taylor Jenkins, who nobody expected to be available this offseason, I hope that that may open the Bulls up to considering some other things, but we'll see what the future does hold there. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media. You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.